The Golden Globes and Grammys are behind us, and the Oscars, well, they're just around the corner. But friends, awards season just wouldn't be complete without the 2023 Plugged In Movie Awards. Hey everyone, Adam Holtz here, your host of the Plugged In Show, focused on the family's weekly conversation about entertainment, pop culture, and technology. Thanks so much for joining us today. Well, earlier this week, we did something we've never done before. We live streamed our Plugged In Movie Award conversation for this year, and we're going to give you a chance to listen to that here. I think that you'll agree it was fun and spirited, and the conversation took some interesting turns as we voted on winners in each of four categories: Best Movies for Kids, for Teens, Best Christian Movie, and Best Movie for Adults. And we'll also have your readers' picks, so we'll get to hear what you had to say about our nominees this year. Joining me for our conversation this week are Paul Acey, Bob Hoos, Emily Chow, and Kennedy Unthank. So sit back, grab a cup of coffee or tea, or maybe turn us up if you're driving into work, and enjoy our Plugged In Movie Awards for 2023. So, Paul, we're going to start with the Best Christian Movies category. Can you just list off what the nominees are for this category?
I certainly can. We nominated, the five movies that we nominated were Family Camp, Fathers 2 Reborn, I Heard the Bills, Paul's Promise, and Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters.
All right. So where do we start here? Which of these movies do you guys feel like, you know, this is the one of these nominees, this is the one I liked?
Well, should we at least mention the Reborn aspect?
I think that's an important place to start.
Why is that important if people have heard of this film and thought,
That's weird.
I thought that was rated R.
Really super, super important. You can find the original Fathers 2 on Netflix right now. If you tune in to watch that, you will be exposed to
a lot of language.
You'll hear lots and lots and lots of profanity.
And the really naughty ones.
The really naughty ones. We're not even going to hint at what they are.
Right.
But Fathers 2 Reborn, a few months ago, Mark Wahlberg, who has talked a lot about his faith, actually went back to the editing room and essentially cut out a ton of profanity.
Because one thinks maybe this would be a great movie if it didn't have 200 of those really naughty words in it. Maybe kids could watch it or younger
That's
people.
That's exactly right. So it's still a PG-13 movie. There is definitely still some profanity. There's some interesting elements there, but we felt like the messages of this movie were strong enough to at least throw it out into consideration. It's well done. It has some strong messages in terms of what faith can do for you.
You know, I actually did watch this. Unfortunately, I had to watch
the bad version,
but no, I thought about it as I was watching. I was like, man, yeah, if they cut out, you know, all these profanities, this would be, it wouldn't be right for every person, every family, but it would be navigable for, you know.
Right. Well, and now when we're talking about which one now is our winner, I mean, I would suggest that, I was leaning toward I Heard the Bells. Just because I love...
And what's the one sentence take on I Heard the Bells?
Well, what is it, Paul? I mean, you reviewed it.
Yeah, it's essentially a true story about a very, very famous American poet, Longfellow, who had a terrible tragedy happen in his life.
Right.
Had a crisis of faith. He moved into a different place as the Civil War was raging, as he was trying to deal with these elements. And he sort of returned to faith after these tragedies came about.
Right.
It was a strong movie. It's produced by the same people who do Sight and Sound.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that is its strength and its weakness right there. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the fact is that I felt that it was well acted, but it was kind of acted for the stage.
Mm.
And that was the detractor for me. I enjoyed the film and I enjoyed period pieces like that. But that what detracted or pulled away from it a bit was it just felt a little stagey.
Yeah.
You know?
The thing that I loved about the movie is it tells you about a story that we don't often hear. I had no idea. I'm a lit major. I'm an English lit major.
Is that what?
I had no idea.
All this time.
I know. Crazy. But I had no idea about this backstory. So to hear that backstory, I thought was really, really interesting. But I do agree with you.
It's a very compelling story.
It was a very strong movie in what I think was a pretty strong year for Christian movies.
And I'm going to push the pause button momentarily and just say that there's a lot of conversation in the chat about Bad Guys and Puss in Boots, and we'll get to that in a couple of categories.
Definitely.
And now, back to your discussion of best Christian movies.
The reason I brought it up to begin with is to say that my initial leaning was toward I Heard the Bells.
Okay.
But my vote will be for Father Stu.
Father Stu.
Interesting.
Okay.
I second that, actually.
Oh, come on.
And I mean,
pick something else.
No, I mean, like, okay, so like I reviewed Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, and I loved that. That was a cute little movie. And
that's
based
on the Meg Meeker book, nonfiction book,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is based on the Meg Meeker nonfiction book. Her book is featured in the film. I don't know. I just, when I was watching Father Stu, the faith element just, it was so strong in that movie. The way that Christ redeems Father Stu's life, the way that it like transforms him, it transforms the people around him, it transforms his parents, you know, and it's so strong and it's so focused on what God does in his life, maybe more so than I think some of these other films, only because with some of these other films, I felt like, yes, Jesus is there and he's a part of their lives, but it felt like a Christian movie. Right. It was like, this is assumed that this is part of their lives because they are Christians, rather than in Father Stu, this is a guy who is the farthest thing you can get from Christian and then becomes one and it becomes a huge part of his life.
And we should mention that Father Stu, I'm not sure if we've mentioned this before, but it is based on a true story. And it talks about this guy. One of the reasons why the original had so much profanity is this guy came from a very, very rough background. And so to see that move into faith, I think, was an interesting journey. And to see how God used him in unexpected ways.
Yeah. Well, and I think that this film in particular illustrates a really hard tightrope that Christian storytellers have to walk. And on one hand, sometimes we see movies and we're like, oh, it was so sanitized. They cleaned everything up. The real world is not that cut and dried. It's not that easy. It's not that clean. People make bad choices. They sin. They say bad words. And yet when we get somebody like Mark Wahlberg that sort of, at least the first time around, he threw this completely unvarnished, you know, real story up there that was full of all that grit. You're like, well, I want grit, but
that's really
that might be a little bit more than I was asking for. And so I think as a Christian filmmaker, I'm not one, but if I were one trying to, and I don't play one on TV either, if I were trying to walk that line, that's a tough line.
It's a tough
and
line.
So in some ways we sort of have a weird little thing here because we have the really gritty and then it's like, well, let's dial it down for people who maybe don't want all that.
There's also one other line that movie makers have to walk, and that is the aesthetics of a film.
Yep.
And that's another thing that we have to evaluate here, not just the message, but how does this message approach us and immerse us? And I think that the production values of Father Stu makes a big difference in this list.
Let me mention another tightrope that we have here, family camp. It's very rare for a Christian movie to try to be funny and to try to make fun.
I mean, even the concept of a funny Christian movie is funny,
right? You think it's rare for them to try to be funny?
Yeah, there's a difference.
I don't agree with that. There's a difference. I think that a lot of them try to be funny. I was going to say, I think it's harder to find movies that necessarily achieve it on the same scale that a non-Christian movie would.
Sure. And I think that that's because, you know, what we believe is so important to us. And it's serious stuff, right? So when you have a movie that does try to be funny and try to poke fun at itself, really, I like to give it a little bit of props for that. And I think that that's one of the things that Family Camp really did.
And the situation comedy here, because really Family Camp is a sitcom with some nice messages. In the end, you've got a very, 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 very sort of hyper-Christian family that speaks in Christian lingo all the time and spiritualizes everything. And then you've got a mom who's sort of roped her husband in, and the last place on earth he wants to be is a camp to learn about Jesus. Not because he doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, but I think it's safe to say at the beginning, it's not his top priority. Right. And so we get really these two dads are among the ensemble cast of characters who kind of bash heads in all sorts of, you know, the ridiculous things that happen at camp.
Yeah.
Just continuing on family camp, one thing that some of our audience members brought up during the voting session was just that there's a scene in family camp where there are bees involved and somebody gets has anaphylactic shock. And they actually said that they turned the movie off because they have family members who deal with that. And it was just too stressful for them. And I will say that, like, there are things that have happened in Christian movies. Like, you know what? I actually can relate to that. I have had similar situations in Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters. Something that stood out to me was his middle daughter goes to a party. She sneaks off and he has to make the decision. Do I go there and embarrass her, but potentially protect her from a bad situation? Or do I figure this out tomorrow? And he decides to go. And of course, she's humiliated, but he does actually just narrowly save her from a really bad situation at that party. And not his wife, but another, the future mother-in-law of his other daughter, she says, you know what? I wish my dad had saved me from a situation like that when I was younger. You did the right thing, you know? Yep. So there are situations in Christian movies that can feel
real.
So
where are we landing? It sounds like a lot of people are leaning toward family.
I want to just at least recognize Paul's Promise, because that's the other movie on the list that we nominated. And that's about a grown man who had an alcoholic and abusive father who treated his mother horribly. And he longs for his mother just to, I don't know, he really has struggled with the sort of baggage from his dad. His mom is a strong believer, but now she's dying of cancer. And so he's like, why should I trust a loving God when he let dad beat you and beat me and was an alcoholic and now you're dying of cancer? So that is what Paul's Promise is about. And I just wanted to at least mention that one before we sort of move toward a vote. Now, I'm sort of hearing a leaning toward Father Stu. Is that what I'm hearing from
our
team?
Well, you only heard
team?
From us two,
the
so,
two
there's,
of us.
So right. you Paul? Need at least the other three.
You know what? I do think I would lean toward Father Stu. And I think for the reasons that you mentioned, I think that it has a very, very strong faith message. Now, I hesitate a little bit because it still has a lot of strong content from what we typically look for.
Read our full review.
Read our full review. And again, let's specify. We're talking Father Stu Reborn.
Right. Yeah, make sure you Reborn. Do not watch the one that is currently on
Plugged
Netflix.
Plugged In has lost their mind.
But we often talk, I think, within this format, actually, that we like our Christian films to be real. We want them to hit home. We want them to reflect the real world. And I think that in some ways, Father Stu does that pretty effectively.
Kennedy?
Yeah, so as much as I enjoyed Father Stu, I know that we've got a majority, so whatever I'm going to say doesn't really matter. But
you matter, Kennedy.
Yeah, oh, thank you, Adam.
And your voice matters.
I got to say, though, I'm going to hand my vote to Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters.
Okay.
The reason why is specifically, like I said, it talks about not only the gospel. I mean, there's this whole wedding scene where they say, hey, actually marriage relates to God's covenant to his people. And I was like, oh, that's really nice. You don't hear that much often anymore.
Yeah.
And then it also talks about how Jesus died on the cross for our sins. It also has a whole thing on what biblical fatherhood should look like.
Okay.
Like I said, I think a lot of people are going to be looking at this and thinking, well, what can I show to my younger children?
Yeah. I probably
wouldn't point them towards Father Stu for that case.
I think that's a very, very good point.
Yeah, I do too.
So I'm going to end with a confession and a vote, and then we'll do the reader vote on this one. So my confession is I like Mark Wahlberg against my will. I don't really want to like him, but man, he's had some interesting characters, and I'm also going to vote for Father Stu, recognizing that there are some problems there. So again, Father Stu Reborn. So Emily, do you have our pick for the reader's choice in the Christian category?
So I wish we had talked about this one a little bit more because it's the winner, but Paul's Promise is the audience pick.
Audience.
Well, yes. Diversity is a good thing, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
And we are now going to plunge into best movies for adults. So Mr. Hoos, would you
read
this
out?
Category
sure.
for us?
The Batman, Cyrano, Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris, 13 Lives, and Top Gun Maverick.
So this is one of our categories that has some blockbusters, and I will say it's time to take the Batman's gloves off and say, you know, the elephant in the room is how on earth could we have nominated the Batman?
Well, I think that that's the winner right there.
No.
You know, no, that's not the question I asked.
We all know you like the Batman.
We can make this category go really quickly and just say the Batman. And the reason why, let me just say the reason why. It's a very dark movie. We, a lot of times we...
That's the reason why?
No, no.
Oh, well.
And you failed.
I disagree.
We normally throw a lot of our superhero movies into the teens categories. That's typically where they go. We are sort of acknowledging that the Batman is a darker movie, right?
Right.
But it has this beautiful turnaround at the end.
In the last where, 2 minutes.
Last 15, I would say, where you see him realize that Gotham needs him to be better than just vengeance, needs him to be a role model, needs him to be a point of inspiration. And I think that that's one of the reasons why the Batman is probably... my vote, unless someone convinces me otherwise.
Well, full disclosure, Paul wrote a book on Batman, so he's biased.
He's
Kennedy,
got a Batman
your thoughts.
Right there.
Yeah, we've been sort of leaving you to last.
I'm going to counterpoint with my hero, Miss Harris.
I'm going to second that
one. I love
it.
So as much as I enjoyed Top Gun Maverick, it was just fun. There wasn't really much more than that.
Tom Cruise still looking like he did 30 years ago. What's up with that?
The Batman,
mostly,
like you said, had a good message on... I love the part where one of the criminals tells him, no, I'm vengeance. And he's like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
But Miss Harris Goes to Paris. I think a lot of times when we talk about adult movies, we tend to think, well, they have to have content issues. Now, Miss Harris has some. But it's also just a really nice feel-good movie. It's also about just societal visibility. How do you deal with that? Like when all of society says, hey, you're not that important because you're just, you know, in Miss Harris's case, you're just a cleaning maid.
Yeah, and she goes to Paris to buy a special dress because she comes into some money she didn't
have. And it is a very sweet film. It really is. But I would push back because I think there are scripting problems, to be honest. There are believability issues, in my opinion. In that film,
she should have gone to Vienna.
I know what you're talking about. Yep.
There are things that she does that instantly turn into these wonderful, beautiful things, and you go, "Wait a minute, come on, that's not going to happen that easily." Especially the way they set this up. Don't get me wrong. I think this is a very watchable film and enjoyable.
I'm glad it's watchable.
But it's there were some content in the sense of the story that just felt a little bit off kilter at times.
Okay. Well, I like 13 Lives because it is a real story about real heroism. And I think sometimes we want to be inspired by a story of people taking risks, of people using ingenuity. Mm-hmm. Plus, it's Ron Howard. And I mean, it feels like it would be criminal to vote against a Ron Howard movie. And now we're going to end up with a divided vote here. So we might have to do a second round of voting.
That's very interesting because you may have, my vote is like now kind of evenly split. So
well,
I might be the tiebreaker.
I want to pull you in your vote.
Here, now listen to this. Listen to this because we've been sort of throwing Top Gun to the side saying, Maverick, it's entertainment. Perfect. But the fact is that
great entertainment,
it is
though,
very good
with
entertainment.
With about 20 S-words.
And it's probably, in my opinion, it was better than the original.
It was.
And the reason for me that it was better than the original
is... this your pick, by the way?
It is.
Okay.
The reason it was better for me is because there's something in there that wasn't in the first. The first one had this sort of steamy sensuality, you know, that people enjoyed, but it was kind of steamy. And they took that out and they replaced it with what? Tom Cruise playing an older man who is in essence mentoring a younger man. And through that mentorship, he helps that kid or that young man reach for healing in his life, healing in his relationship with his mom, healing in his relationship with the Tom Cruise character, with Maverick. And they come out of it as both better people because of their relationship.
Plus,
and
there are some great scenes with fighter jets.
Right, they do it all at mock speed, and I mean, it's great stuff. I think it's a very good film.
Paul's like twitching over
here.
Look
know,
at him. His face is like, that vein in his head is like,
Top Gun Maverick. Top Gun Maverick was a very, very good film. It was well told. I know that that was the big hit of the past year. It was very nice. I do think that the Batman had stronger messages. And for that matter, so, I think that I think Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris. I think that that was what you said about it, Kennedy, I think convinced me that that might have some pretty strong messages.
And so,
as well.
Emily, you get to play Kingmaker here because we have voted for four different movies. So
Don't pick
the one we haven't talked about yet.
No, but really quick, just to mention Cyrano, that's a musical that is the story of Cyrano de Bergerac.
With Peter Dinklage.
I feel like I don't really have to go into that one.
Excellent. Yeah. Let me say this. If you don't think of Cyrano de Bergerac as a musical.
Yeah. I did.
But they do a great job with it. And even though Peter Dinklage can't sing a note,
he is such
a great actor that he makes it work. And it has some really nice themes in that film.
I would agree.
So what's your vote?
I'm actually going to throw it to 13 Lives. Ooh. You convinced me.
Wow.
And
upset
Emily
in the middle.
Gets a raise. Oh, if only it were that easy, right?
That's indeed
true. I thought that Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris was delightful. But what you said about it, Bob, was actually very true. It had some scripting issues. Batman, my biggest issue with that is just that you have to wait till the end, till the redemption comes.
There's a lot of bloody violence in the meantime.
Yes. That's very true.
Yeah.
It's very true.
I like 13 Lives. I like what Adam said about it being a true story of people just doing the right thing and risking their lives to save others.
Okay. Well, it is now time for the reader choice. Emily.
Top Gun Maverick.
Top Gun Maverick.
That is not a surprise.
Because at the end of the day, it's important to feel good about yourself, your jet, and your country. So there you go.
There you go.
That's also why I didn't feel bad about throwing my vote to 13 Lives.
So let's move on to best movies for teens. Kennedy, why don't you give us that list?
Yeah, so our best movies for teens are Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, Catherine Called Birdie, Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, Slumberland, and Till.
Okay.
I knew I was not going to pronounce his name right.
Guillermo.
And this is a tough list.
This is a tough list. Yeah.
These are very.
I know my vote.
Yeah.
I could start it off.
Yeah.
All right.
Start us off.
I'm going to go with Till.
Ooh. Yeah.
Wow.
It is the story of Emmett Till. He was. This is post Civil War. He goes to visit family in the South. While he's there, he tells a store clerk, he's like, "You look like a movie star." And he shows her a picture of the movie star that he had in his wallet. And she takes it to the next level. She gets her husband and her brother, I think, involved. And they go to his relative's house. They drag him out of bed and they kill him.
Yeah.
And it's a whole court trial. But the reason I like it is, and the reason I think it's so important is, what stood out to me is that for teenagers, this story doesn't have the happy ending you might think it will have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important, that as we come into adulthood, you know, from teenagerdom, we need to know, hey, life isn't, even when you fight the good fight, you're not always going to get the answer you want. And that's what happens in this story. At the end of the day, Emmett still died horribly, and
his killers were not brought to justice.
That's not a spoiler. This is based on a true story.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, and it's so sad to me, but it's so important to me, I think, that teens know that lesson.
Yeah. It is, as you said, it is based on a true story. It's a horrific story in a lot of ways. It has a lot of power to it. One of the things that I loved about this particular movie is the expressions of faith. This really is the story of Emmett's mom.
Yeah, in some ways it's more about her than it is about him.
It talks about how she was motivated from a grieving mother who lost her only boy.
In a horrific, unjust way, in an
impossibly difficult way, and how she changed, and she decided to use that horrific moment to move the dialogue along about racial justice, and the fact that she was motivated by faith adds a little bit of a kick to this movie for me.
So one of the reasons we put this film in here is that we thought it could potentially be a catalyst for conversation with teenagers. And one of the things we try to do with the Plugged In Movie Awards is to look for films that maybe are a little bit off the beaten path that you may not have even heard about that is a potential conversation starter. And I'll say, I grew up in a town of 7,000 people in Iowa. And it wasn't until I was a young adult that I began to have any consciousness about the entire conversation about race, because I grew up in a pretty homogenous environment. And I think this could be a way, even though it's a hard film, you would want mature teens mm-hmm. to be able to talk about it, yeah. to say, you know what, this is actually where we have come from as a country. And maybe there's a, so this more than the others, I think I wanted to have on the list. And sure. I think I really advocated for this one because of that potential, not just for entertainment or feeling good, but for a real conversation
so
starter.
So in the chat, it looks like the folks in the chat are really talking about Till. They're also talking about Pinocchio.
Guillermo del Toro.
Del Toro's Pinocchio, which is a very, very interesting film. I think that a lot of people would wonder why we didn't put this in the kids category. And a lot of that is because it is a difficult film. Again, when you're looking at some of the messages here, you're dealing with death. You're dealing with grief. You're talking about disillusionment even with some of your familial relationships.
Right.
But it has a really, its artistry is incredible. And it has some very, very interesting messages, both about family and some interesting messages to sort of go through in terms of its faith content. There's a ton of faith content here. Now, it can
and some
be,
of it's pretty disturbing, actually,
it
in its
really
own
is.
Very strange way.
When you are a Christian and you are watching this, you can say, I think this could be a Christian movie. If you were an atheist watching this movie, you could see this movie and say, oh, they're
clearly
making some strong...
Clearly there's no God. Because
yeah, really
the church
is,
gets bombed at one point.
The
and,
church
yeah.
gets bombed.
You, know?
You have some really fantastic elements here that can lead to, again, for a teen and their parents, watching Pinocchio and talking through some of the family elements here, talking through some of the faith elements here, I think you can have a very, very rich conversation.
What do you think, Kennedy?
Yeah, I was just thinking about, that's kind of the big theme of a lot of the movies we've chosen, especially in the teen category, is that there's a lot of movies that came out in this last year that really dealt with some more difficult topics. I mean, you look at that list up there with Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, Slumberland, Pinocchio, Till, you see all those things and you're like, oh, these are all
well, and
harder
even Catherine Called Birdie in its own kind of period piece way deals with some pretty tough issues.
But that right there, and I'll let you go on and talk, but that is the very reason why I choose Slumberland. Because,
and then we'll come back to you.
Because the great thing about Slumberland, and I know you liked it. I know you liked it a great deal.
I liked
and
it.
So that's there's why, no pressure.
That's why I was
Bob.
Hoping you'd go ahead and jump on that bandwagon.
There's,
but anyway,
there's no pressure.
The thing I loved about Slumberland was that it dealt with these same kind of heavy topics, because it centers around this young girl whose dad dies in a terrible accident. Yeah. Her life is it's upheaval, and it's a very tragic situation that just sort of changes everything for her, and she's feels alone and broken. And this film deals with that. So it's the same kind of story as Till in the sense that a great loss and mourning.
Only Aquaman is in it.
Pardon? Yes. In fact, it's a real breakaway kind of role for Jason Momoa.
Right.
But in any case, what they do is they use the context of dreaming and fantasy to deal with this very heavy subject. You become emotionally attached to this young girl, and you see her step by step find a way of healing, find a way of connecting with her uncle as a family, and their love heals the situation together. And I think that the film just does a masterful job of entertaining us, keeping us involved with the fun stuff while we emotionally connect and actually weep through certain sections of the emotional side of things and the healing.
Yeah, I completely agree with Bob. I'm throwing my vote to Slumberland.
Woohoo!
Bob, you missed your calling. I think you should have been a politician.
It has nothing to do with Bob. I love Slumberland.
That's absolutely true.
You're the one who nominated it.
That was honestly probably the favorite movie that I reviewed of the entire year.
Oh, wow. That's a
pretty
strong
statement.
Just because,
like Bob was saying, it very masterfully just dealt with this issue of how do you move on from grief? Like, do you wallow in your grief for the rest of your life, or do you learn to continue on living. And that's, yeah. I mean, it tells that metaphor through dreams. It right. essentially says, do you go back to your dream and just do that over and over? Or do you wake up and live in the real world?
Did you vote, Paul?
You know what? I did not vote. I'm really wavering. And I just wanted to mention Black Panther, Wakanda Forever really quick, only because, again, it deals with grief. Yes. We see so much of this theme coming through in these movies. That's where I think Black Panther really excelled, was in its dealing with grief.
Yes. Yep.
But I do think that my vote will be, you know what, Em? I am going to go with Till. Ooh. I'm going to go with Till.
That means two you're the tiebreaker, man. Oh,
so much pressure. Till. That was easy. Oh.
So much pressure.
We'll get him next time.
And I will also just say, by way of public service announcement, you can also check out our full review of Catherine Called Birdie, because we didn't talk about it much. But we have chosen. And now, Emily.
Black Panther, Wakanda Forever.
Black Panther, Wakanda Forever.
That's our audience really, pick.
And you know what? I understand why audience would pick that. It is an entertaining film. There's a lot of action. There's a lot of buildup of new Marvel villains. Yep. And it's the characters you know and love.
All right. Emily, when you're done taking a sip, what are the five nominees for Best Kids Movies?
We have The Bad Guys, Disenchanted, Marcel the Shell with Shoes On, Puss in Boots, The Last Wish, and Railway Children.
All right, Paul, tell us about Marcel the Shell with Shoes On, because I know you've had a year-long love affair with this movie. In fact, you were the only person who saw it.
At the time, when we were talking about it.
At the time, yeah.
Bob has since seen it.
Yes, I have.
Well, it was not a lot of people saw it when it first came out into theaters, but it has like a 99-98% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. So those who saw it loved it. And essentially, it's really about this shell named Marcel.
Hence
he
the title.
Does have shoes. He lives with his Nana. He lives alone in this house. This documentary producer comes in to film their lives. And so it really starts off as this very cute movie just about this shell's life and what he does every day. But it turns into this really interesting rumination about family and community and, again, grief. We talk a lot about grief in this, because we do see some sadness, some passing that takes place. It was a beautiful, funny, winsome story that really surprised me. Yep. And honestly, one of my favorite movies of the year.
So is this your pick?
Not necessarily. Okay. Honestly. Well,
he could be swayed.
You want to talk some more, don't you?
See, I would wholeheartedly agree with Paul that it was a very nice, sweet film.
But
it's not a film for children.
Oh.
And
so we put it in the wrong category.
We put it in the wrong category.
I mean, we should have talked about this earlier.
I suppose so. But here's the thing. In my opinion, it's a movie made for adults and has very adult themes and very adult jokes. I mean, it's very adult focused, only it's from a very childlike perspective.
So it's kind of a category buster.
Yeah, but it's different. See, we see a lot of kids films that have adult things in there so that the parents going along with the kids will go, oh, that's funny. But the fact is that this one is totally different. It flips it on its head, where it's something that kids can watch. But I really believe that 15 minutes in, after the novelty of the little shell with the eye wears off, the kids are going to be going, okay, what's going on? Do I have any more snacks? Do I have it? And, you know, and they're not
Johnny stole my popcorn.
They're not going to be paying attention, because the themes tend to be just a little too adult.
So I would agree, and I would totally disagree with you all at the same time.
Isn't that wonderful?
Because I do agree that this movie does have a strong appeal to adults, and a lot of the themes are going to be things that adults think about. But when you think of the best children's movies out there, when you think of Pixar's Up, when you think of Inside
Out, for adults.
That's the thing, right? You have these elements where, and oftentimes I think that we don't give kids credit for dealing with real emotions. They understand what fear is. They understand what grief is. They understand what it means to be part of a family. Sometimes we diminish that and we lessen the entertainment that we give to our children. And I think that that's something that we shouldn't
overlook. I also give kids credit for boredom.
Yeah.
And because you've raised a couple.
And they're going to find it in this film. And that's the problem with it, as far as I'm concerned.
All right. Kennedy.
Yeah, so actually, I'm just going to say real quick that this entire category was definitely the most difficult for me to choose.
Oh, yeah.
Because so many of these are just such great movies. I love The Bad Guys. I love that it has this story of, like, rejecting these societal stereotypes that have been placed upon you.
What if the big bad wolf can be good,
yeah.
Right? I mean, that's sort of the premise here.
Yeah. I love the animation style. Puss in Boots, I mean, that's a huge one. That one was so much fun. Also told the story of just appreciating the life that you have, you know, and just learning to find, you know, you don't have to be immortal to enjoy life. Marcel Duchamp, I was hesitant, but Paul kept pushing me. He's like, you gotta watch this. And then I watched it, and I loved it.
It's about a shell.
It's just
with shoes on.
It's not about a shell. It's about a shell who's trying to find his community. And he's just, man, I have lived. Shells are supposed to live together, he says. And he's just looking for his community. And it's such a beautiful film.
Yeah.
And so, gosh, I love them all.
Emily, you haven't
tripped in. Oh, man. It's really hard to pick because...
But you're going to have to. I'm sorry. This is our job.
I will say this.
We're professionals.
I think that...
We can do it. Sorry.
I think that a lot... Of, yeah. Just a little. I think that a lot of these kid movies, like, honestly, they're all good. They're all... I think they're all fun in different ways. I kind of agree with Bob that, you know, Marcel the Shell would be interesting for a minute, and then your younger children would definitely get bored. I think your older children might be a little more okay with it. But, I mean, oh, man. Do I really have to pick? How about you hear your thoughts, Adam? I can't pick.
Oh, I'm just enjoying... I'm the ringmaster. Well, I'm just trying to give everybody an equal voice here.
You know, we haven't talked much about Puss in Boots. You mentioned it. Let's talk about Puss in Boots for a minute.
I did really like Puss in Boots. Like, I grew up on Shrek, so watching it, I'm just like, it's like a throwback to everything from my childhood. So, I mean, in Puss in Boots, it's all about, Kennedy kind of touched on it. It's about accepting your life as it is. You know, you have Goldilocks, who lives with, she is actually friends with the three bears. She's part of their family, but she doesn't want to be part of their family anymore. She wants to find her real family that she kind of, sort of was kidnapped from. It's kind of a weird situation.
Sounds like a plugged-in issue.
It was kind of an accident. It was an accidental kidnapping.
Just like Marcel Duchamp.
Yeah, just like Marcel Duchamp.
But it actually, it bears out to be more of an adoption story.
It bears out.
Yes, so to speak.
Turns into more of an adoption story.
It's more of an adoption story. And so there's a very strong family element to this film.
Yes.
But also the thing that Kennedy mentioned, I think, is right there at the top of the heap, and that is that Puss realizes, I mean, the whole story is based on, he's down to his last life, as cats all have nine lives, of course, and he's chasing after this magical star, which will give him his life back again. But he comes to the end of this quest with these people and the people that he learns to care about and to love. And he gets to the end of this film, and he realizes, you know what? I don't need a whole bunch of extra lives. I just need a good life.
And it's
a very powerful statement that I think is easy for kids to pick up on. Now, the only drawback to this film for some very younger kids is the intense scenes that you mentioned. Because it's very scary. But here's the thing, and I'm going to throw this out here because I think it's important. When I went to the screening, because I reviewed this one. When I went to the screening, I was sitting right next to a family with two young girls. One was about 5, the other one 7. And when it was all done, I thought to myself, wow, that was kind of intense at times. And I asked the dad, I said, do you mind, could I ask your daughters some questions? He said, that's fine. And I said, did you like it? They said, yeah. I said, was it scary? And they went, yeah. It was really scary. And then I said, but was it too scary? And I focused in on the 5-year-old because I could tell, you know, the 5-year-old, she's going to cue off her sister.
Yeah.
But the 5-year-old was the first one to chirp up and say, no, it wasn't too scary. It was fun. So I said to myself, okay, now that is a stamp of approval. The things that I thought might have been a little intense, these kids really dug.
Yeah, it's interesting. I hate to say it, Bob, But Chet is loving what you have to say about Bruce.
All right. Good on you, Chet.
So I'm gonna start out the voting then. I don't know if we've officially done that or not.
No, I think it's time.
I was coming in here with strong pulls towards Marcel the Shell, but Bob, you have really convinced me.
Well, good.
Puss in Boots, yeah, I got to go with it. It was just, I'll be honest, I'm not even that big of a fan of Shrek, and I know that's probably going to get me a lot of hate mail.
I just love Antonio Banderas' eyes.
Only for me.
He's really great in this, too. It's very funny.
But Puss in Boots, was funny. It had, like, the most disconcerting villain I've ever seen. Mm. and it had a really good
have
message.
Have you seen Star Wars? No, not really.
For a kids' movie.
I needed a Star Wars joke in there somewhere. I mean, it was a reach, but I got it in. Emily, did you vote for Puss in Boots?
I'm going to go with my nostalgic vote of Puss in Boots.
Okay, cool. Is that three for Puss in Boots?
Three so far.
Paul, do you want to cast a sort of protest vote for Marcel?
I do. I do want to cast a protest vote, but I want to vote for the bad guys.
Actually. Interesting.
It's a good movie.
Because Marcel the Shell is a great movie, and everybody should see it, and it's not boring for children. But I would agree that it does lean a little bit more toward adults, and I think that is something that has swayed me a little bit. But I also loved the messages of the bad guys, mm-hmm. you know, and it gets down to a really Christian message in a way. Now, The Bad Guys is not a Christian movie, obviously, but it deals with the big bad wolf and a lot of characters who are typically seen as bad. And it talks about, do we have to move into what is expected of us, or can we make our own choices?
Oh,
and
free will versus some sort of predeterminism.
That is exactly right.
If
that
not
is
predestination.
Incredibly powerful from a Christian point of view, because that is what we sort of lead with in our world as Christians. What do our choices say about us? What do we do with the time allotted to us?
In the midst of a heist story
for middle schoolers. Yeah, and it's super fun. It's really fun. Yeah. It's really great.
Well, we have a winner, but I will cast my own protest vote for Marcel the Shell with Shoes On.
Wow.
It's a lovely movie. And
it's a lovely movie.
I loves me a lovely movie. Emily, it's that time.
We did the same thing.
What?
They did the same thing.
Puss in Boots.
It's Puss in Boots.
Yeah.
We agree.
Good job voting,
Very rare
people.
That we have the exact same vote as
We're
the audience.
Align, yeah.
Well,
so, yeah.
Sometimes things come together. And on that note, I think that this is a discussion that has come together. So thank you
nice
for joining us. And we do this every week on The Plugged In Show. And you can find us at thepluggedinshow.com.
Argue?
Some weeks,
we argue
sometimes.
We don't,
yeah.
sometimes don't sit there and vote for movies
no,
each week.
But,
I want to clarify
we talk
that.
About, we talk about the deeper issues that are involved with entertainment and technology.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And again, our desire is to encourage you, to equip you, to give you the information you need to make good decisions as parents, and sometimes just to know what's going on out there. I mean, there's so much coming at us. So each week we kind of sift through what's out there and really try to pick some things that we think are conversations that will be fun, but that will, you know, really give you some meat to chew on in your relationships and your family and in your entertainment choices. So as always, we would love for you to tell your friends about thepluggedinshow.com. And one way you can do that is wherever you get your podcasts, you can leave us a review. And if you want to interact with us, you can shoot us an email at team@thepluggedinshow.com or just find us on Instagram or Facebook. And in our episode notes for today's shows, we'll have references to the things we've talked about today. I hope that you have enjoyed this special live stream presentation of The Plugged In Show, and we will be back next week for another great conversation on The Plugged In Show.
Hey parents, Parent here. If you're searching for biblical and practical tips for your kid's specific age, you know, with all that extra time you have, well, you can stop. Focus on the Family has weekly age and stage emails that bring the tips to you. Each week, I get an email for my son that I can read on my phone and put directly into practice. No more sifting through junk on the internet. I can focus my time on being intentional. It's easy. Visit mykidsage.com, add your kid's age, and get to parenting better. That's mykidsage.com.